You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
The Paranormal News Insider from ParanewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of October 24th, 2017, and episode number 335. And this is your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And, oh, wow, this week, I'll tell you what, I just learned some more interesting news. It seems like every time I look at something, I'm hearing some more interesting news that's occurring. Was on lunch today at work and I heard something interesting. We'll talk about that tonight. I just heard something just prior to the show that needs to be talked about. But anyway, you're going to hear about, will the new Bigfoot Museum have a bust or will it be a bust? And proof of Bigfoot, it's all over. It's done. Proof will be coming this Friday. That's it. It's done. It's over. We found Bigfoot. Somebody did. But there's something standing in the way of you seeing it. And that's pay-per-view. We'll talk more about that. And can you, yes, you, not the guy behind you, hiding in the corner of your room, can you survive the 24-hour Sasquatch Challenge? Or can you even afford it? Tassie sighting, again, with no proof. We'll talk more about that. And sounds like a lot of cryptid news. Well, it is dragging on and on. And we'll talk vampires. They're on the loose. You'll find out where here in a second. We'll also have the book of the week, which is actually a magazine. So I guess maybe I should, it's the periodical of the period. I don't know how to do that. We'll just keep with book of the week. How's that? That sounds good. And this week's news is brought to you by the International Cryptozoology Museum, located in Portland, Maine. The International Cryptozoology Museum opened in 2003 and contains rare and original items collected by Lauren Coleman, the director of the museum. And you can visit the International Cryptozoology Museum now at 4 Thompson's Point Road, Suite 106. And it is sweet, and it's bigger than ever. For more information, please visit the Cryptozoology Museum online at cryptozoologymuseum.com. It's an interesting place. I got to get down there. My book, Handbook for the Amateur Cryptozoologist, is for sale down there. I know they got copies because they haven't asked me for more yet. That would be interesting to just to see that. I would go visit the International Cryptozoology Museum just to see my book, even though I have a pile of them right behind me here and in the studio, sadly. Anyway, what is going on? I'll tell you what's going on with me. I am tired. Don't normally complain about such things. It's been a wild weekend. As you know, last week, we had the big Skype outing, the outage. So I got bumped to Friday based on my schedule and the schedule here at WCJVRadio.com. And it was pretty cool to have a show on Friday. Saturday, I actually went to a very long meeting at the Cleveland Community College in Parma, Ohio, the West Campus. And I joined in with the Cleveland Ufology Project. And after working all day, getting up at 4 in the morning, was out there till 11 o'clock at night, a little tired. Really interesting stuff covered there. We talked a lot about some of the UFO stuff that's in the news, as well as the MUFON of Ohio conference that took place earlier in the month. And the speakers and different things that were going on there. We also talked about consciousness studies in UFO research, which was interesting based on my background in ghost research and consciousness research. So was very vocal during that and discussions and talking about different things that were going on in the UFO world. So lots of fun, and big thanks to Aaron Clark and all the gang at the Cleveland Ufology Project for a great meeting. And Aaron Clark is actually going to be one of my guests, guest speaker at the upcoming, in case you didn't know this, I'm throwing a conference, the Twinsburg Paranormal Conference, next year, February 17th, 2018, in Twinsburg, Ohio, which is up here by the frozen tundra of Northeast Ohio, that time of the year. It's Twinsburg is between Akron and Canton, Ohio, in Northeast Ohio. Very easy to get to. Interstates, we have those here in Ohio, and it's located just off a state route, so I'm not worried about the weather. And the weather might be frightful, and you might have to have some hot chocolate or whatever, but it's the road should be fine. I'm not really going to worry about that too much. It's just those who might have to travel. But Aaron Clark will be one of the multitude of speakers. Well, I have seven speakers, plus an extra guest speaker, just in case things get a little snowy somewhere along the way. And also Colin Schneider, who's in the chat room right now, who's the host of the Crypto Kid radio show every Monday night here on WCJV Radio, also going to be a speaker, as is Audrey Hamilton, who is a frequenter here at the network and the chat room, Fortean and paranormal researcher, film producer. Brandon Masullo will also be a speaker. His new book just came out very recently, I think, a couple weeks ago. Ghost Studies, Perspectives on Paranormal Experiences. And see, Ron Murphy, numerous books that I've talked about here on the Paranormal News Insider as the book of the week. And Scott Sukel, who is the former ghost hunt manager at Mansfield Reformatory, will also be there. Amy Boo, who works for the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization, will be talking about Bigfoot sightings here in Northeast Ohio. And like I mentioned, Aaron Clark, the co-director of the Cleveland Ufology Project. Also have Greg Faketic, who is a local ghost researcher, ghost hunter, ghost investigator at the Tri-C Ghost Hunters. He's been speaking at the Twinsburg Public Library for a number of years, right down the street from where I'm at and right down the street from where this conference will be held. But for me, I've been speaking at the Westerville Public Library now for 9 consecutive years, and that's where I was last night. My voice sounds a little weird. I sound like Kermit the Frog here. But I spoke for over 2 hours last night at the Westerville Public Library after a two-hour drive to get down there after working for 9 hours. And then speaking 2 hours and then driving home 2 hours. So it was quite the night. And then getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. This morning, I'm a little tired. But it was fun. It was worth it. It was a great crowd. A really diverse crowd of people with a lot of different backgrounds and knowledge in the ghost field. And I talked about a lot of history about ghosts and a lot of history about the burial process and our fears and beliefs and how they get in the way and how we make us interpret different things as potential hauntings and ghosts, and kind of got into the 21st century kind of stuff. And I did a live demonstration of the flashlight trick, and ooh to not everybody in attendance. It was a lot of fun to do some interactive stuff as well. So looking forward, we're talking about potentially doing another cryptozoology program early next year. Looking forward to that. Love that library. It's a lot of fun. Let's see. Next week, got this highlighted, underlined, and capitalized. So it must be important. Maybe I'll talk about this thing. Next week, we are live on the air on Halloween. Wow, how luck would have it. I'm actually here in the studio on Halloween night. So I'm going to be bringing you some interesting stories. Dita here in the chat room has sent me probably about 50 links, I think. No, just a couple. Some links that we're going to talk about, some stories, some interesting stories. I also have a bunch of books up here that have some very, very old, some of the original ghost stories ever told, and you're going to hear those live on the air. And so I'm going to make it sound really creepy. I'm going to use some weird voices and Maybe yell and scream. I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe Batman will make an appearance. Count Dracula, maybe Count Chocula. One of those guys will show up in the studio. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be spooky. It's going to be scary. And well, maybe, I don't know. Bugs flying around in here. We'll have a little bit of news to share with you as well during that program. So tune in. It'll be a special Halloween night episode. Feel free. Go ahead. Wear a costume. Oh, wait. That's how you look. Okay. Well, anyway. Yeah. Well, you can wear your costumes. That's fine. Dress up. I don't have any candy. Well, I do have candy, but I'm not going to share it with anybody. Come on now. Yeah. So tune in next week. Same time, same sandbox right here on WCJVradio.com. I know I'm early, 7 o'clock p.m. I'm old. I got to get my beauty sleep. That's what I say. Let's see. Well, I think it's updated. If you go to paranewsinsider.com, which is the official home of the Paranormal News Insider, plenty of links here. You can get links to the news as it happens. Well, not as it, well, pretty much, I guess it would be as it happens. You have a link to my blog, which I haven't written one of those in probably, I don't know, 3 months, it seems like. There's a contact page, all the archives to all the shows you could ever imagine, going back 9 years, 334 episodes, and episode 335 will be available, well, shortly after I'm done talking here. And you can also click on events, and that'll take you to all the events that are taking place. Oh boy, I really need to update that one. That's really out of date. Anyway. It is a long list of stuff here for 2017, and there's more X's through these things than there are stuff available. So time is winding down right now this week, and this is it. This is the height of the silly season right here. So we have a few coming up the next couple of weekends. I have one myself I'm going to on November 3rd and 4th, the excavation of Victorian ghosts at Bedford Springs. It's a really interesting hotel. It's like stepping back in time. Really cool. I'm going to be dressing up in my Victorian era clothes, which I don't really have, but I'll make it seem that way. And we're going to do some presentations. Brandon Masullo will be there. I'll be there talking about Victorian era ghosts. I think I got swindled in that because I think everyone else is just talking about whatever they want. And I was here worried about Victorian era ghost stories and stuff. Anyway, I still got time to reconfigure that. But it's going to be an interesting weekend, to say the least. And one thing that I haven't really talked about, if you've ever heard about the Philip experiment, where they created the fictional ghost, the Toronto Society for Psychical Research, they did a series of basically table tipping sessions and seances during their experiments with Conjuring Philip, which is the name of the book that I would love to get my hands on that documents all of this stuff. Well, the original table that they used during the seances, during this attempt of creating this ghost of Philip, the table will be there. I am super stoked to see that. Yeah, John Sable, I'm excited to see you too. But that table, that's exciting. It'll be worth driving down there and dodging all the deer, which I hit one last year. Not a fun way to end the weekend. But hopefully I can avoid that this time. Maybe I'll carry a shotgun with me, something, I don't know. But looking forward to seeing a little bit of history. I've really enjoyed the Toronto Society for Psychical Research's Philip experiment and done a lot of research on what actually the process is and some of the people that were involved prior to this that led to that actual thing. So I'm looking forward to that. That's the excavation of Victorian ghosts at Bedford Springs. You can find more information if you just enter that in on Facebook. There's a Facebook site. You can get up-to-date information about what's going on there. You can get tickets and show up. You can hear us speak and see us all doing the excavation. If you've never heard about ghost excavation, what an interesting process that is. It's essentially we're immersing ourselves back in that time era, trying to resonate with ghosts of that time frame. It's not just dressing up and pretending like you're there. It is being there. We use specific terminology towards specific people at specific times, trying to connect with whatever could potentially be at that location, which in this case Bedford Springs Resort, where people went to relax and have fun. So we'll probably do a lot of scenarios geared towards the activities that would have taken place during the Victorian era at this location. And I've done quite a bit of those. I've done that at a church up in Canada, did this at Civil War battlefield site in Pennsylvania, and a couple of other places, actually a local place here in Ohio, we did this as well. So really a really interesting methodology that John Sable, the ghost excavator, has. And I'm looking forward to that weekend. Hopefully I can get a little bit of sleep between now and then. So that's it. Again, paranewsinsider.com. You can check out all of these events. A lot I didn't talk about as well. I'm already starting to create stuff for 2018. So you might want to check those out. And speaking of events, this is something I just heard before I came on the news. There was the official Patterson-Gimlin film 50th anniversary conference and celebration that took place over, well, I guess it was the 20th and 21st, Friday and Saturday. I guess it's kind of the weekend. In Eureka, California, fairly close. It's about, I don't know, maybe 2 hours west as the Bigfoot hikes of the area where the Patterson-Gimlin film was actually filmed. And so this official Patterson-Gimlin film 50th anniversary conference and celebration, a lot of stuff to put on a banner, took place. They had a lot of speakers, special guests, so on and so forth. And Roger Patterson, unfortunately, passed away, so he's no longer with us. But Bob Gimlin is. And so, you know, obviously, Gimlin is a special guest. Well, he wasn't allowed to speak at his own celebration conference. That's what I'm hearing. That's straight from his mouth. I heard a watched a YouTube video right before coming on the air. Pretty shocking to hear that. It's unfortunately, that's the sad state of cryptozoology right now. A lot of infighting, politics, sadness. It's depressing because this is a really interesting field. There's a lot of great things that are out there, but unfortunately, the personalities dominate the landscape, and it really takes away. This reminds me of being on Colin's show here when we talked about some of the issues with cryptozoology. But that being said, that's kind of a good segue into tonight's paranormal news, and we'll start it off with cryptid news. And I did mention the International Cryptozoology Museum, located again in Portland, Maine, at the beginning of this show. Now, it's rumored that a 10,000 square foot Bigfoot museum will be opening up in Montana. How cool is that? That sounds great. Let me book my tickets now. But hold on a second. The museum will also be partnered with a 50-room multi-story hotel with a live theater with some Bigfoot drama, maybe. I don't know. We have enough of that already. An award-winning restaurant and a lounge. A lounge. Maybe Bigfoot will take up a career as a lounge singer. I don't know. With a little velvet tie. Am I going too far? Of course I am. The idea is a partnership between Bill and Carol Stewart, who own the Dancing Bears Inn in East Glacier, Montana. And the other partner is a name very familiar to those in cryptozoology. But before I reveal that name, it's very hard to say this name, to be honest. Last time I think I got sick. It should be noted that the Dancing Bears Inn is the number five of six places, yikes, to stay in East Glacier, according to TripAdvisor. And while reviews range from excellent to terrible, one cannot help but grimace from the photographs from visitors of stained sheets, stained pillows, that's disgusting, and stained towels. Ugh. And if that's not bad, should check out the gaudy wood panel covering that they have on the walls that just screams 1970s. I don't know. I was born then, so I can say that. Very sad and outdated motel. Sounds like great. Dancing Bears Inn sounds like something that would be, you know, carved in mahogany and this beautiful lodge with mountains all around. Well, it does have mountains all around it, but it's a motel. It's just an outdated, gross motel. Definitely, sorry. I mean, I'm just going on what I'm seeing and what I'm reading on TripAdvisor, which I do trust because I do use them. That's a free plug there, guys. Definitely not a place that I would want to stay if I went to that area, no matter how little money I had to travel. I'll pop a tent in a parking lot at a Walmart before I would stay at this place, to be honest. Well, now to the name, the other person, the other partner in this venture to build this brand new multi-story hotel and this 10,000 square foot Bigfoot museum, none other than President and Chief Executive Officer of Bigfoot Investments Incorporated, Tom Biscardi. And I vowed, I think it was 4 or 5 years ago, that I would never say that name on this show again after the multitude of crap that he started. Yes, Biscardi is a career hoaxer. And you know, I have to pay homage to him. He has been around a long time, and he's made a lot of advancements in this field with some of the stuff that he's done, but also a major distraction. He's also kind of hindered things, kind of knocked it off the rails just as much as he's kind of tried to put it on the map. And I think at this point in his career, he's doing more damage than good, and he's trying to remove himself from the public view. But this is going to go down in history, as I can tell you right now, just another failure. But that's why I'm talking about it. Normally, if I see his name pop up, I don't even talk about it. I let it roll because I already know what's going to happen. Unless it becomes a big story, then I do want to talk about it. I do want to kind of head you guys off at the pass if I see something really bad coming your way. I want to let you know about it. And that's kind of where I'm at with this one. It's pretty much a guarantee that this hotel and this large Bigfoot museum will never come to fruition. Not very good news so far here in the cryptozoology arena, but it gets better. No, it doesn't, but we'll roll on. Let me throw that link in the chat room. A very added benefit to listening live. If you're in the chat room as well, you can get these links after I read these stories. I pop the link in there and you can copy that and read it later, or you can kind of zone out and read it as I'm talking about it, and you know, drift off into wherever you're at. But anyway, Tom Biscardi. That's my new swear word. Anytime I get mad at work, I'm just gonna say, ah, Tom Biscardi. Pretty much the same thing. Anyway, yes, back to cryptid news. So let's see if we can find something a little bit nicer. Well, speaking of potential hoaxes, Colin just kind of said something there in the chat room, and he kind of brought this. I kind of forgot about this. Heard about this big thing last week. I kind of watched it and I got a headache because I rolled my eyes too fast and kind of bashed my brain with my eyes. But Colin Schneider, the host of the Crypto Kid radio show, heard every Monday night right here on WCJVradio.com, reminded me of a story late this morning, early this afternoon. Forget when I was on lunch zoning out. Yeah, and again, this is a story that I kind of hoped would just disappear, would fall between the cracks, and I wouldn't even have to talk about it. But here it is, and you're going to hear about this. I'm sure this is going to gain a little bit of momentum because of a press release that was released today. Wow, a press release. That means that it's important. A press release is all professional. A press release means everybody better pay attention because it's important. Even if the press release was a do-it-yourself press release, which you yourself could do if you want to make a press release, you can go to this little website and you can sign up and make your own press release. Oh, it's just a web page, nothing exciting. But anyway, this do-it-yourself press release. Todd Standing, another name that's very hard to say without upchucking. Well, he's reminding the cryptid world that he has the proof of Bigfoot beyond anyone else, as he always says, that of anybody that's ever said they've had proof of Bigfoot, he can trump you. He's got even more proof. He has proof on top of his proof, with proof sprinkles soaked in proof milk. That's how much proof he has. It's just oozing off the spoon. Well, the title of his press release is, quote, "A Bigfoot documentary so significant, experts believe it could prove in a court of law that Sasquatch exists," unquote. That's confusing. "A Bigfoot documentary so significant, experts believe it could prove in a court of law that Sasquatch exists." What? What? I don't even get that. Like, it's a documentary. It's a TV show. It's not going to prove anything. It's just going to prove how artsy you can have an angle for a puppet in the trees that you can make look like or think that it's a Bigfoot, or how well you can make little sounds in the background that sounds like grunts and moans. Anyway, I'm not going to bash this till I see it, I guess. Yeah, that's a pretty bold statement. And I wonder if he means like how the Animal Planet's Mermaids, the Body Found TV show. Remember that? When they came on and they had this little quick little thing that says that this is fake, it's not real, but nobody read it because it was like so fast. You basically had to slow it down. It was like one frame, and these shows are like, I don't know, 80 frames per second. So no one really saw it. Yeah, mermaids aren't real. But this TV show intended to prove that mermaids were real through reenactments and pretend stories and falsified documents. Sounds pretty much like what you're going to hear on this show, just being honest. So the claim here is that this new documentary, it's titled Discovering Bigfoot, and you can start looking up Discovering Bigfoot so you can find out when this show is coming on. We'll talk about that here in a second. This proves without question that Bigfoot is real on a documentary, on a TV show. Unfortunately, hopefully you guys have – I know you guys have some common sense. You're listening to this show. You have a lot of common sense. That's not how things work. Now, from the preview – yeah, there's actually a preview. I don't have the link in front of me, but it's real simple. If you just put Discovering Bigfoot well, not preview. It's like the little short segment, the little warm-up, the little – well, I guess it is a preview. Those little things that they release for the movies that you always see. Anyway – oh, that's out there. It's like 40 seconds. It's really not. It's a bunch of screaming and odd angles in the woods and really loud music that doesn't need to be there. Yeah, it's all, what do they call that? Smoke and mirrors and shadows and weird people. I don't know what they say. They say something like that, and it's just to distract you pretty much from the truth. I mean, from the preview, watching that quick preview, it reminded me of, which is kind of ironic, it reminds me of a cross between Survivor Man finding and Survivor Man meets Finding Bigfoot, pretty much is what it reminded me of when I saw this. And it's kind of ironic because Les Stroud kind of was, I don't, well, him and Todd Standing were kind of hanging out there for a little while, being best buds. And I think Standing just kind of used, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say this kind of stuff, but it just seems like now all of a sudden this show is just kind of like Survivor Man. I don't know. We'll see. But it's probably going to be a little closer to Survivor Man than actually Finding Bigfoot. Not that they've ever found Bigfoot on the Finding Bigfoot show, which is weird. You think that, you know, by season one, maybe season two, something. And then Finding Bigfoot, they're always talking about Squatch. Kind of weird. Anyway, the show statement released, again, just this afternoon states, quote, "The Discovering Bigfoot documentary, combined with additional eyewitness testimony from individuals from all walks of life, including doctors, engineers, and biologists, and DNA evidence and fingerprint analysis present what researchers are calling undeniable proof that this species exists," unquote. Wait, what? Engineers? What? What do you need an engineer for? I don't know. I hear a horn, and it's a train, and I think there's something on the tracks. This is not going to pan out well. I'm just telling you right now. So let me ask you this. How do you find proof of a Bigfoot? I mean, what do you do work in the field? You collect DNA evidence. You maybe potentially find a body somehow. You publish. You get all this stuff, all this data and crunched and all your T's crossed and I's dotted. Then publish all this in a scientific journal so that your research can be peer reviewed by other scientists. Make your work available for others. All your DNA evidence available for other people to look at or cross-reference with other things or just to identify. No, that's silly. You do it on television, of course. Why would you do all the work? Just put it on TV. That's the best way to do it. Come on now. I mean, this has been tried before. Live press conferences back in 2008 when Bigfoot was supposedly found by two guys down in Georgia. Yikes, that was a very long weekend. Yeah, so anyway, this story to wind this thing down. Discovering Bigfoot can be viewed on select pay-per-view channels. Yes, pay-per-view. So if you want to find out what happened, you're going to pay for it. Or you can just listen to this show because I'm sure I'll find out without having to pay for it. I'm not paying a cent, but I'm going to find out about it anyway. And that's going to take place on October 27th. So this Friday, the truth will be revealed on Bigfoot, and it's over, I guess. They found undeniable proof here. Discovering Bigfoot will also be available in 26 countries on Netflix. But according to Netflix, they've never heard of the show from the email that I just got back a little bit ago. But anyway, we'll find out. I mean, it's like one of those things. Have you ever driven by a really bad car accident? And when you're coming up, you're like, I'm not going to look. I'm not going to look. But you got to look anyway. That's kind of how I feel about this show. You just kind of you can't help it but have to peek and have to look. Yikes. Where's the barf bag? You're tuned in to WCJV Digital Broadcasting from Youngstown, New York, emanating live at WCJVradio.com, and you're listening to the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And I guess it's true. Maybe I do a little quirkier and funnier when I'm tired. I don't know. Maybe it works. Wow, looks like I'm on fire. Yes. Talking about the advertisement there in the chat room. If you're in the chat room, thank you, Dita, for the awesome artwork with these doodads. Can't wait to see what's next week. It's probably brown. I'm just guessing because it's fall. That's depressing. Leaves are dying. Anyway, let me get this. I'll throw this press release there in the chat room and definitely have that one out to you guys through Facebook and Twitter. So I cover these stories during the show here on Tuesday night. So then throughout the week between pretty much Wednesday because I'm lazy. So Wednesday through, well, usually Monday, I'll surrender these links from my archives to you guys out there. And a lot of this stuff, yes, is the same stuff that you can get your hands on the paranormal news stuff. But this story here, no one's really covered this because this is brand spanking new. It's still crying, and the doctor just patted it on the butt. So it's fresh, it's new. So you're hearing about a story that not too many people have heard about. So yeah. Bigfoot will be proven on Friday. If you've got the money. If you got the money. Boy. Well, can you survive Canada's 24-hour Sasquatch challenge? When I read this story, I was like, oh, heck yeah. Where do I sign up? I'm all ready for that. That's piece of cake. It's kind of like those things when you see on Facebook and people go, ooh, would you dare stay the night in this haunted house? And I'm like, okay. I mean, do I have, yeah, I Wi-Fi at least? I mean, even if not, can I get a nice sleeping bag? Something I can just kind of relax in because this kind of stuff doesn't scare me. Sure, throw me out in the woods. I'm cool with that. I have no problem with that. Especially in Canada, it would be fun. A little wet and cold this time of the year, but hey, if there's money involved, I'm in. Well, unfortunately, there is money involved. But not the kind of way that you would think. Yeah, this article got my attention a few days ago. And I thought it was a contest, you know, a pure adventure kind of contest where you pit yourself against the other people and go out and survive the elements. Cool, I'd love to do that. Well, it turns out that it's merely an expensive, luxurious, glamorous camping, or what they call in the business, glamping, which is weird. Glamping, glamorous camping. That's when you go and you back your car up and you pull out like a cot and an air mattress. I use an air mattress, but at least I use a tent, or you know, and you're staying in a like a cabin out in the woods. That's kind of glamping, and you have like a hair dryer that's plugged into your cigarette outlet or something. It just stuff you really don't need. If you're going to spend the night out in the woods, all you need is the stars. That's all you need to cover yourself up with. That's all you need, man. Some nice warm stars. Anyway, yeah, it's a expensive, luxurious, glamorous camping, glamping adventure for those with some disposable income. So yeah, you gotta pay. I thought this was like you win money or something, but no, you gotta pay, and you gotta pay handsomely. Why do they always say you gotta pay handsomely? I don't understand that one. Anyway, this October, only this October, you can get a getaway package which includes a helicopter ride to some remote areas for only up to 3 people, because I guess that's all you can stuff in a helicopter with your glam camping gear in tow. And then you're going to get dumped off with gourmet food, tents, and a bunch of other gear in Sasquatch country, with your choice of a variety of locations from Canada down through the mountainous areas of the United States. Now, other gear includes headlamps and a radio in case you chicken out and need help, need to get extracted. I guess like Survivor Man kind of stuff. Personally, when I read that, I think it's just kind of more or less to kind of cover their liability insurance needs, but that's just me. The overnight vacation packages are created by a company called Boutique Escapes, and they spelled boutique wrong, but that's okay. They probably did that on purpose, I'm sure. That's the trendy, cool thing to misspell things so it looks trendy and hip and cool. Boutique is spelled BUTIQ in this case. Boutique Escapes, who offers many high-end adventure getaways like this one, and are billed as providing, quote, handcrafted luxury travel experiences and vacations, unquote. Sounds exciting. You could take a Ferrari and a wine tour. Probably not a good combination in British Columbia. It sounds like an insurance nightmare, but I guess from reading it, because I laughed, I thought that was kind of a little weird to have a Ferrari, which most people can't drive. They think they can drive until they get behind the wheel and find out it's way more power than they could ever imagine. Then you splash some alcohol on that, and that's a recipe for not good times for the insurance company, at least. Yeah, but I guess you can't drive the car while on the wine sampling days, which what's the fun in that? But they do offer a helicopter ride instead. Can't be that much more. A couple bucks. You can also cut out the expensive car with a private jet wine tour of British Columbia. Sure, why not? Sign me up. Well, if wine's not your thing, how about a beer tour? And with the beer tour, you can take a seaplane. That's got to be affordable. Well, this would be a nice getaway for me. Sounds like a lot of fun. Sounds like a dream vacation. It's a little too steep. Basic package here for this Bigfoot or the Sasquatch Challenge thing here is $7,500 per person. And that's just one night, 24 hours, $7,500. Let me think about this. I'll pass. That's okay. That's a little bit too much. That's pretty steep. It would be fun, but yeah. Anytime I see the word concierge, I get excited, but then I know that I can't afford that. I'll do my own research anyway, as you guys can tell. Boom. So there's the link in the chat room right there, and you guys can first access to that. Let's see, what else do we have? We have so many stories here. I don't know what it is about cryptozoology lately, the study of unknown or undiscovered animals. I tend to forget when I was at Westerville public library last night talking. I tend to forget how people, the average person doesn't know what cryptozoology means. And I get carried away and I start talking about it. And people are like, wait, what? Crypto, what? Zoology? What, zebras? What's going on? I'm lost. So then I have to stop and explain that. But you guys get it, right? You know what it is, right? Okay. Well, you don't, but that's okay. You don't count. You're not listening anyway. I see you playing with your Pokemon Go. Anyway, was a thylacine seen in Australia? Well, that's a million-dollar question, and we've talked about that quite a bit here on the show over the last, 9 years. It's one of those creatures that you really are rooting for, that you really hope will be discovered. It's just one of those feel-good stories, and you really hope it comes to fruition. But then you see some of these stories, and you're just like, well, that stinks. That's not a thylacine, buddy. That's a fox. Anyway, this claim is an interesting one. It's coming from a man who lives in Langwarrin South, who was driving with his kids when he saw what he initially thought was a greyhound, not a bus, a dog. A greyhound crossed the road. I guess that's common in Australia. Greyhounds just running around. Are they wild up there? I don't think so, but it's not very common, I would think, to see a large dog like that running around, a greyhound. They're pretty fast, too. Don't they race those for money stuff? I don't condone that, but anyway. Wow, I get sidetracked easily. Shiny object. Look at that. Oh, I'm sorry. His children. Now, so this guy's driving around. He saw what he thought was a greyhound dog crossing the road. And his children commented, quote, "It's got tiger stripes on the back." And I don't have a very good Australian accent, so just imagine that. "It's got tiger stripes on the back," with an Australian accent, unquote, which has added some mystique to the report. Interesting that they would comment on stripes, tiger stripes to be exact, which the thylacine didn't quite have tiger stripes, but it did have stripes. And not a whole lot of animals in Australia have stripes. So it's an interesting report. The man also noted that the creature had a long and straight rod of a tail. Get your mind out of the gutter. Straight rod of a tail that was long, which was also reminiscent of a thylacine or Tasmanian tiger or also a Tasmanian wolf, whatever your perspective on what this thing was. Now, Langwarrin South, here's the caveat. There's always a caveat with these stories that I talk about. There's always a downside. Well, I don't mean to be Debbie Downer or Brian Downer. But Langwarrin South is a suburb of Melbourne, Australia, which is located in the southern state of Victoria. It's a very large city, and this is like a suburb. So this isn't like out in the middle of nowhere. It's kind of in a crowded area, which is a little concerning about this particular report. I don't know. I've seen people that have painted their dogs like thylacines before as an Amish. I don't know. I don't live there. I'm just saying what I saw. I swear it's true. The last thylacine was found in Tasmania, which is, if you're looking at Australia, it's got, you know, you've seen the shape. You've been to that place that serves the Australian food. You know what I'm talking about, that place. So you know what Australia looks like. And they got that little thing down there on the right-hand corner. Well, that's Tasmania. That's off the coast of mainland Australia. A little like a triangular, tear-shaped little island hanging off the edge, trying to look mainly at that big continent, staring at it down. Anyway, Tasmania, that's where the last thylacine was found. And it's speculated that the thylacine might have been still hanging around in Australia back when the British began to colonize in the late 1700s. Not verified, but it's actually based on some paintings that were created around that time frame, which do show little thylacines. Is that what they're called? I wonder if they're a pack of thylacines running around, and they were painted into the pictures. Doesn't mean they were there. Just means that somebody had seen them and painted them in the picture. I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm not that old. But they were extremely rare if they were there. or even extinct by that time. And fossil records show that they probably died out a long time ago. But that's what a lot of people down under are claiming, that the Thylacine is still hanging around on mainland Australia. I don't know. I think that if you're going to find them, they're going to be on Tasmania where they were seen last. But that's just me. And again, I'm not there. I'm here. That's a world away. Well, not a world away. It's still in the same world. It's just on the other side of it. It's another day there. It's weird. It's a whole other day. It's not even Tuesday there anymore. Weird. Anyway, there's your story in the chat room. Hope I didn't hit anybody with it when I threw it in there, but you get the gist. My goodness. Well, here's another story. Something I feel like I got to talk about here. And I don't mean for the cryptozoology news to drag on. Drag on. You'll get it in a second. But there's an interesting story that people have been talking about lately. I kind of ignored it. I just kind of laughed at it. But now I'm not laughing because it's getting serious. People are really getting caught up in this thing. I don't know why, but this happens every now and again. Last Tuesday, a viral video surfaced out of China where locals purportedly found and filmed the bones of a 60-foot-long dragon. Dragon. That's where I got the cryptozoology news, is dragon on. Anyway, you got it. The video has gone on to be viewed well over 10 million times. One time was enough for me. Actually, I watched it twice. Well, maybe three times. I'm guilty. But 10 million times. There seems to be a lot of mystery surrounding this video. Really hard to get a straight answer out of anybody about this. And I don't really want to speculate, but I can kind of guess that it's more than likely not real. Just speculating. I know people are mad. Why does he always be so skeptical about everything? My goodness. Can't he just say, well, maybe dragons are real. There be dragons. It's just not likely. I'm just stating the obvious here. I mean, not only do we know that dragons have never existed, there's a lot of, if you watch the video, there's a lot of telltale signs that show this is more than likely not a real dragon. Even if they had existed, this looks a little fishy. I mean, first of all, the bones are just laid out there on the ground, untouched, just sitting there on the grass. They're not even partially buried or anything. It's all together perfectly, which you never find anything that big, all perfectly put together, laying on the ground like that. It looks like it just died, like it was recently stripped of all of its flesh in a perfect fashion, which never happens in nature at all. This would suggest that this creature died recently, which is another tip you should think about. Second, the bones and structure do not suggest anything that would be able to move, let alone be able to hide from public view very long. The set of bones had two small sets of arms, which are actually traditional for the Chinese dragon. I was impressed by that they didn't try to make it with wings, but that's not how they see them. They see with the little arms and the little legs. You've probably seen these. Try to think about this. Where the easiest or most timely that people would have seen this? It's either at a Chinese restaurant, or you've seen probably somebody with one of those satin jackets that they take karate classes on. Sometimes they have those patches with the little dragons on it. I'm just saying that's where you're going to see that stuff. So they have the little legs and the little arms, and they're said to swim through the sky. That's why they have those. I don't know. I'm a winged dragon kind of guy myself. I think that's much cooler. Now, the Chinese dragon is a symbol of power and is very revered. But those gathered around this set of bones, they look like they were just posing and having fun. It really didn't seem very serious. They weren't in awe. I mean, I read a bunch of stories that said the people were panicking and there was people were believing in this and getting care. No, I think you're just trying to sell newspapers or click-throughs here. I didn't see that myself. And I have the same amount of information as anyone else at this point, it seems like. I mean, the people were riding on it. They were sitting on the bones. So I don't think that they really – I think they knew what it was. I don't think they really thought it was something dramatic. And it's been suggested that these are cow bones, and I've heard the skull is thought to be some sort of some creature that lives in China that they just kind of manipulated a little bit, put together, kind of like a Fiji mermaid, where you mend fish parts and monkey parts to make it look like a mermaid, a very ugly mermaid, but a mermaid nonetheless. And it's also been suggested that this is some sort of movie prop, but I've never seen a 60-foot dragon bones of a traditional Chinese dragon in a movie anywhere. Maybe there's a new movie coming out. I don't know. Maybe it's a viral video for something. I don't know. Very few logical explanations. But this being a real dragon, not likely. Just saying. Just saying. Just putting it out there. I don't think it's real. And I'm hoping that there'll be some new information coming out about this soon that we can talk about and prove it one way or the other. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe dragons are real. Maybe I'm wrong. So let me copy this link. I'll throw that in the chat room for you guys. And again, for the, I don't know, fourth time, these stories will be available out through social media. That's pretty much through Facebook and Twitter. And hopefully you guys are seeing this stuff. Because Facebook is really, really driving me up the wall with trying to get me to pay for advertisements, which I don't really see the need. I don't see the need. Yeah, it's kind of they're controlling social media, and I don't like it. Not happy with it the way Facebook is forcing you to spend money so people can see your stuff. Just kind of ridiculous. I mean, it's not what it's designed for. But anyway. It is what it is, and I do put the links out there so you can find it if you want to find it. If not, that's okay. So let's see. Oh, wow. Yeah, I almost forgot. One story here. I don't know whether I was like in awe of the story or I wanted to laugh. I mean, it's pretty sad because people died, but you just don't see this kind of stuff anymore, anywhere. But apparently, there's still some heavy belief systems about this stuff. And witchcraft is a very serious thing in a lot of parts of the world. And it is taken very seriously. I know India and a lot of parts of Africa take this stuff very, very seriously. And it is definitely not a laughing matter, especially when things like this particular story happen. And this story takes place in the African country of Malawi, which is landlocked between Zambia, Tanzania, and Mozambique. It's in the southeastern area of Africa and is experiencing some unrest, again, of a very strange kind. So far, 140 people have been arrested who are participants of lynch mobs in the small African country who have been attacking people that they feel are vampires. Vampires. Imagine lynch mobs searching for vampires in 2017. It's happening. And sadly, at least 9 people have been killed, including one who was stoned to death. And in case you're, I don't, maybe you don't know what that means. Stoned to death is pretty much when people pick up rocks and either hit you or they throw them at you until you're dead. That's not a good way to go. Not a good way to go. And one man who suffered from epilepsy, who was set on fire and killed over this belief that he was a vampire. Yikes. That's some pretty scary stuff, and it's real. This isn't fake news. This is really happening. The violence is thought to have started in Mozambique, where protesters are attacking police, whom they believe are protecting the vampires. Homes have been attacked where the mobs think vampires are also seeking refuge. Police patrols have been boosted in affected areas, and curfews are also being implemented. No attacks on people who are purportedly a vampire have been reported. So people who are purportedly vampires really aren't running around attacking people. There's a couple of rumors about that, but I'm not sure how valid those statements are. This is nothing more than urban legends that's gotten way out of control, and it's gripped those who believe in and fear witchcraft which again is a very popular and strong belief system in this part of the world. And this is what they believe. And, you know, we can make fun of it. We can laugh about it, but this is some serious stuff for them as well to believe these things. On Friday, a female police officer was approached by a man who suddenly shouted "bloodsucker," but that's not what he said. I mean, he said "bloodsucker," but it sounded more like how is it? Opapa Magazi. So Opapa Magazi, Opapa Magazi, bloodsucker. He's screaming this in the streets. And then people began to rush the scene with rocks in hand to attack the purported vampire. But the woman was rescued before being injured, and the man was arrested. And Benjamin Radford, who is a skeptical paranormal researcher, this guy 24/7 is always talking about strange things, not just the paranormal, but clowns and all sorts of other topics, also commented on this story. And he's commented that the internet was spreading misinformation via social media. That never happens. That never happens. This misinformation spreading on social media has also played a role in this story. I didn't know that, but that's his research. I trust his research. So this is a combination of local folklore, the internet, and mass hysteria claiming the lives of so far 9 people that have been reported over hysteria of purported vampires with really nothing to back it up. You know, and I was thinking about this story today, and I thought, you know, once if this story goes mainstream and they start talking about this on CNN and Fox News and all these other outlets, there's going to be a lot of people complaining about those who want to dress up as vampires for Halloween, and it's done. It's over. And I'm serious about that. It's kind of sad that I have to say that, but yeah, that's what's going to happen. Anyway, before I get too carried away with the show here, the book of the week, which isn't a book. So what is it? Why would I say book of the week and then I don't have a book? Yeah, I don't know. I make the rules here. it's your show. It's still your show. If you have comments, you have concerns, and you have suggestions. I've gotten some weird suggestions about different stories, and reluctantly sometimes talk about them. Probably not the way you wanted me to, but I'll talk about them. If you have ideas, things you want to hear, things you want to see, books, anything, the show is yours. I do this for you guys, the listeners. Let me know. Insider at paranewsinsider.com. You can find me again on Facebook, Twitter. I don't know. I'm out there. LinkedIn. I don't know what you follow, what you look at, but I'm there. You can find me. I might be sleeping. I might be hiding, but I'm there. Anyway, book of the week is the magazine of the week. You might have a hard time finding this now. I bought this a while ago, and I kind of forgot about it. I finally got to reading this not that long ago. And I really wanted a big story in space to really be able to talk about this, because this deals with life on other planets. And I was really hoping that something would come along that I'd be able to talk about this. But since the date, it says display until 10/20/17. So I figured I'd better talk about this very soon. And I got time, I guess. The book is called, well, the magazine is from Popular Science, and I get caught up in these. I spend a lot of money on these things. All these special editions that you see, Time Life Books or Time Life Incorporated, they have all these little special magazines that they put out all the time on different topics. And this one really caught my attention. And this one is on life in outer space. It's called Are We Alone? Are We Alone? I mean, some people are alone. That's just how they want it. They're just not willing to go out there. No, that's a different thing. Are we alone in space, in the universe? Are we alone? It's a $1 million question. A little thing. There it is. Okay, so let me get a link in the chat room. You can see the cover of the book, Popular Science, Are We Alone? It's a special edition put out by Popular Science, the book of the week this week. And this is You know, if you're not following, you're not paying attention to what's going on. A lot of new stuff has been found about all of these exoplanets since 1995. It's not been really that long. I know I have friends that are have been born since then, which is really weird. 95. Jeez. So these exoplanet discoveries, you know, have led to a lot of speculation that maybe we're going to find life on other planets. Maybe not intelligent life. I mean, we don't really have much of that here on Earth to begin with. So can't really expect to find too much of that out in space. But this book really breaks things down. They do spend a lot of time on the TRAPPIST-1 system, which is one of the newest finds this year. And there's still a lot of research being done on this. There's actually three exoplanets that are in what's called the Goldilocks zone. The Goldilocks zone is where it's not too warm and not too cold, but just right, because it's just far enough away from the sun that the planet doesn't bake, and it's not too far that it freezes or is too cold. But it gives the perfect conditions for liquid water, so life can find a way, as they say on Jurassic Park. And this magazine was kind of a little shocking. They do talk about SETI in a positive way, which is weird because usually SETI gets bashed. And it talks a lot about the Drake equation and different all the different people that were associated with little green men early on with research into extraterrestrial intelligence and things. And it's talked about it in realistic, like they're not making fun of it. It's really weird how all this stuff is now being looked at as mainstream information, whereas before it was just tossed in as pseudoscience. It's really exciting to read this and to see an article on the WOW signal. Granted, they don't take it very seriously, but I was extremely excited to see that. And it's got a lot of full color pictures and everything in it. I spent way too much money on this. You can get it a lot cheaper online through Amazon and different places. eBay has some copies. But this really does a really good job of really mapping things out for where we stand right now with current research and how we're going to get out into space and the money and the financial constraints that we have about getting out into space and discovering life, whether it's microbial life or potentially more extreme life that's intelligent. They cover it all. They talk about all the potentials being planets or areas or systems that we can go to, including in our neck of the woods, some of the moons of Jupiter and other planets here that potentially have water that we can extract, and it may also have life in the water, the liquid water that could be potentially on some of these moons. Not Mars, forget it. Mars is done. It's just rust. There's no life there anymore. It might have been, but there's not now. Despite what you see with those rocks, they're just rocks. But anyway, lots of great articles. It's just a series of articles talking about the tools and technology it's going to take, which is really, really interesting to read. And again, it's all current information. It's not up to date, obviously, because they have to print it and put it all together, but very valuable information, I think. It's not a whole lot of scientific discoveries that can really captivate the general audience, general people, even kids, school kids. I know growing up for me, you watched the space shuttle. Those were exciting times, and it got you interested in space. But we don't really have that much anymore. So it's these discoveries that are going on now that are really the only thing that can captivate children. So it's good that we have these magazines. We have the information that's out there so that kids can look through these pictures and get excited about space travel, and the potential for things that are out there. And I'm a little kid at heart, of course. I love space. I love the possibility, the potentials that we have of discovering intelligent life, let alone just anything out there to prove that, my goodness, we can't be alone on this hunk of junk flying around the sun. There's got to be something else out there, hopefully. But this reading this, it's kind of like, it's almost scary. You feel really, really insignificant to a point, and you kind of get a little perspective on where we're at floating out here on this rock in space. So it's well worth the read if you can get your hands on it. Again, Popular Science, a special edition, Are We Alone? And it shows the planet Earth kind of floating out there in space, all kind of a drawing kind of thing. It's Searching for Life in Space. Really excellent read. And it was worth the, what I spent, $14? My gosh, I spent $14. It was worth it. It was really good. And it's $3 on Amazon and change. Yikes. Well, still, get your hands on it. I got my a while ago, so well worth the read, I think. And with that, I want to thank Cindy for the show and bringing you all the fantastic shows here on WCJV each and every week, and Dita and Paul for their help in the chat room. As always, thanks to Jim Mallard of the Mallard Report popping in there as well. And with that, that's it. I'll see you next week again for a special Halloween episode. We're going to do some campfire tales. I don't know if I'm going to call it that. Just some stories, some interesting stories. I'm going to go way back in the time vault, way back, thousands of years, actually. And we're going to talk some of the earliest and some spooky ghost stories. And we're going to talk about some real stuff. I'm not going to trick you or fool you with folklore. Oh, it's just going to be the real deal. So be prepared. It's going to be very eye-opening and ear-opening adventure. But between now and then, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.